Revelation chapter 13, beginning at verse 11. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning. Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 12 and read verse 11, because that's really going to be the heartbeat of the message this morning. Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, this morning I sense an anointing in this building today. Lord, I sense an anointing for you to increase the faith of your people in you, to give a greater revelation of you, Lord Jesus. And Father, today in the midst of this world in which we're living, which has just seemed to be bent on total destruction, total self-annihilation, that Lord Jesus, we can look up, our redemption is drawing nigh. And Lord, as we as individuals are feeling the effects of everything that's going on this planet, Lord, may you cause us to know today one more time we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And that as long as our faith rests exclusively in Christ and what he did for us at the cross, we will always be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Hallelujah to the Son of God today. Lord Jesus, bless this teaching today and the preaching of your word. Let us glorify you, Lord Jesus. That is what we seek to do. Let us bring honor to the one who has gone to the cross for us. Let us bring glory to the one who has redeemed us in his precious blood. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. It's difficult times we're living in, church. And Michelle alluded to it briefly earlier today, to the individual believer that has his faith anchored in Christ and what Christ did at the cross. At times it's going to seem a tougher way to go, because you've heard me preach before, but it bears saying again, Satan is only going to take the time to fight that which God has his hand upon. There will be little opposition to the person who just names the name of Christ and has no real faith in Christ and what he's done on the cross. But to the believer that has set his heart upon Christ and has fallen in love with the truth of Christ and him crucified, there will be at times tremendous opposition by the powers of darkness to dissuade that believer, because that believer is a testimony unto every demon in hell and Satan himself that Christ has conquered and that Christ is an overcomer, and that through Christ we share the victory that he gave us on the cross. That sends chill bumps all up and down my spine, what I just said. The magnitude of it we could preach for years on and not do it justice. Because by faith, we are translated in the sight of God and in the sight of Satan. Did you hear what I just said there? By faith, we are translated in the sight of God and in the sight of Satan to a position of being in Christ. That means that Satan still is deceived and tries to oppose the very Son of God. As he sees us, we're in Christ. That means the Bible says our lives are hidden in Christ. If I take my hand and place it in the middle of this Bible and then close this Bible is all you see. The hand has disappeared, and as far as you're concerned, and become one with the Bible. So it is with the child of God that has his faith in Jesus Christ. When God looks at that individual, he sees no difference between that individual and his son, Jesus Christ. When Satan looks at that individual, he sees no difference between that individual and Jesus Christ. Hence, he will attempt to oppose that which is of Christ. But he knows, he is defeated by the blood. He knows that there is a line set in the portals of glory, a line of demarcation, if you will, that try as he may, he can never cross. He can hinder, but he can never have ultimate victory over the child of God, as long as that child of God keeps his faith anchored in the cross of Christ. One of the greatest prophetic events to ever occur, I believe, in the history of mankind, was when the nation of Israel came into being once again in 1948. There's one thing you must know about your Bible. Something makes it unique from every other book in the world. Of course, it was Spirit-breathed and God-breathed. But another distinctive about this book I hold in my hand, it is the only book in the known world that gives predictive prophecy. It is also the only book in the world that its prophecies can be verified as having come to pass time and time and time again. God spoke and said Israel would become a nation again. And in 1948, against all the odds, against almost insurmountable forces, God fought once again supernaturally for that tiny nation, and Israel came into being. And Satan hates that nation because he knows through that nation came the Messiah. He knows through this tiny nation of Israel, Jesus Christ is once again going to return one day and sit on the throne of David and rule and reign this planet from his rightful throne in Jerusalem. Why do you suppose a little strip of land not bigger than the state of Vermont would constantly carry the attention of the world and be an object of hatred for all nations around it who are 3, 4, and 5 times its size? It's because that's God's nation. God has placed a decree over Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign one day from King David's throne in Jerusalem. This Bible predicts that. Israel becoming a nation again in 1948 set the stage for the final days of biblical prophecy to start to be fulfilled. And we're living in those days right now. I've shared with you before, and I've just got to say it. There's no easy way to say it. If Barack Obama is elected president, and it appears he's going to be, I have no doubt in my mind he's going to help set the stage for the rise of the Antichrist because of his religious beliefs. Now, I know the secular media will tell you that he is not a Muslim, but anybody who makes a statement to the effect that the most beautiful sound they've ever heard on earth was the Muslim prayer at sunset, which says, "There is no God, there is no prophet, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet." That's all that it requires for the Muslim community to accept you as one of their believers. Hence, there are strong ties in this man to the Muslim faith. Why do you think all of Europe wants him elected? He's a socialist. Why do you think even the Middle Eastern countries are garnering support for this individual? And hence I have no doubt that he will help set the stage for the coming Antichrist. That spirit of Antichrist is already in the world today. And as we read in Revelation here, chapter 13, we see a very odd picture. We see a lamb, the Bible says, that has two horns on it. Let me say this. Religion has always been man's greatest problem. I want that to sink in for just a moment. Religion has always been the plague of humanity. Some of you are looking at me like, what on earth are you talking about, Pastor? Aren't we religious? No, we're not religious. If you have your faith in Jesus Christ, you're in a relationship. You're not in a religion. Big difference between the two. Jesus Christ is not a religion. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Christianity is all about entering into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something this morning. Christianity is not a religion. Religion has been the enemy of mankind since almost mankind's inception. The first murder in history, if you read your Bible, you'll find was over religion. Was over how to worship. Cain and Abel. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. Abel brought what God required, an animal sacrifice. The shedding of blood. And man, since that time, and this is what religion is in its purest form. Religion is an attempt on man's part to reach God using man's own devices to make himself righteous before God. And that's what I've got to preach this morning. That's exactly a perfect definition of Catholicism, and that's exactly a perfect definition of Islam. It's a man-made system to reach God. And I want to announce this morning, and you already know this, but we're going to be preaching this in these outreaches. And it may ruffle a few feathers, but we can't help that. There's one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. There is one way to relate to God, that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was not offering an option when he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That was not a suggestion. That was a declarative statement by the Son of God. And this world needs to know if it stands any hope at all. It's got to know about Jesus. It's got to know that cold, dead, dull, dry man's religion cannot help anybody. But if you'll find Christ, you'll find a lot of cardboard testimonies. Amen? You'll see a lot of transformed lives. You'll see a lot of lives that have been redeemed and changed by the power of Almighty God. But John, in this vision in Revelation, sees a lamb that has two horns on it. In the Bible, a lamb always represents worship. But this lamb has two horns on it. Horns in the Bible are always symbols of military or religious strength. And in this vision that is given to John, he sees a lamb with two horns on it. Two great forces of power. And if you put in context the scripture we've read, it's representing in this context religious power. As we draw to the close of this age, more and more you're going to see the call for unity. Unity of all religions. You're going to hear statements like, well, it doesn't matter how you get to God if that's your path to get to Him. There are many ways to God. Opiate windbag philosophy. Oprah Winfrey is who I'm talking about. I call her opiate windbag. Because any buffoon who tells you there are many ways to God, they're a buffoon. And that's going to be the message, though. Choose how you want to get to God. It's okay. If that's your way to reach Him. That's the biggest lie that's going to put more people in hell than any known doctrine, I believe. And that's what John is seeing in effect on this lamb. Two great religious systems united under one banner, on one body. And what the Antichrist is going to do, and he's soon to make his appearance on the world scene, he's going to somehow unite Catholicism and Islam together. For a time, he will even bring Judaism under the same banner. And how will this be done? Here's the message we need to hear this morning, church. How is he going to do this? I wish I had time this morning to take you into the forming of the satanic trinity that we see forming in the book of Revelation. During the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. You have Satan himself who's always wanted to be God. You have his Antichrist who will act really as Satan incarnate on this planet. And then you have this false prophet we're going to read about this morning who will try and attempt to act as the Holy Spirit on behalf of the Antichrist, performing signs and wonders and miracles. This is all that John is seeing. All these things are what this lamb with two horns represents. And he says that even though it was a lamb and had these horns on it, it spake as a dragon. In biblical prophecy, whenever something speaks as a dragon, that means what it's saying is false. That means what it's saying is a lie. What it's saying is untruth. And the message emanating from this lamb with the two horns is going to be just the message that I spoke to you about a few moments ago. In essence, the message will be, however you want to reach God, it's okay. And your path is all right if that's your way of doing it. That's how the Antichrist, one of the ways he'll use to unite the masses, to sway them and bring them under his hypnotic, deadly trance. He will also, through the false prophet we read in Scripture this morning, use signs and wonders. Now, there's nobody, I got to stop and bring this out right here, there's nobody that believes in signs and wonders more than me. I believe that God can heal these bodies. I believe he can speak and cancer will go away. I believe he can open blinded eyes. I believe he can heal deaf ears. I believe he can do anything. But a miracle, or a supposed miracle in and of itself, is not in and of itself a sign of God's approval. Let me say this. There's a big difference between what is true and what is truth. Big difference between those two things. Say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Let me illustrate it this way. If I drink a fifth of whiskey, I'm going to get drunk. That's a true statement, isn't it? That's true. But is it truth? Is it truth from a biblical definition? Truth from a biblical definition reverts back to the scripture we quoted a few moments ago, where Jesus said, I am the truth. The only truth in this world is Jesus Christ. There may be a lot of true things said, but there's only one truth, Christ and him crucified. That's at the risk of sounding too simplistic. That's what it is. That's truth. And so much of the gospel preaching we hear today is true, but it's not truth. It's true to preach that Jesus heals. It's true to preach that Jesus is a Jesus of love. But if you leave it there, all you've done is made true statements, and you've not preached the truth. You see where we're going with this? And much of the gospel preaching you hear today is just true statements, and they're not the truth. What completes the truth? What brings out the real truth? Let me use what we saw this morning. It was very good. Those people holding up those signs and everything, that was a true testimony to the transforming power of Jesus Christ. But let's fully complete that truth. How does he do it? Through the cross. Through the cross. Through the cross. He heals through the cross. He saves through the cross. He delivers through the cross. And if we just preach about the truth of the true things he can do, we have not delivered the truth. And so much of the gospel preaching, there's the deception in it. It will be true statements about God. So much of what this lamb is going to preach in Revelation 13 is going to be true. God is a God of love. God loves everyone. That's true. God does love everyone. But the complete truth is that man has rebelled against God. Man is born into sin. And God, in his love for man, sent his only begotten Son to die on a cross to deliver man so that man could be made right with God only through what Christ has done on the cross. There's a big difference then between making a true statement and preaching the truth. You understand what we're saying this morning? This lamb in Revelation 13 and all false doctrine will contain true statements. There's the deception. But I'm going to give you something this morning that if you will adhere to it, you can never be deceived. You can never be led astray. If you look for one thing, where is Christ crucified in the message? If the heart of the message you're hearing, and I don't care how eloquent the speaker, how brilliant his oratory, how genius his theology may sound, if it does not all lead to the simple truth of Christ and him crucified, you're just getting what is true. You're not getting the entire truth. And that's how Satan twists the truth. This is his method to twist it, is to tell just a portion of it. That's what this lamb will do. It will preach that God loves everyone. It will preach that God wants to relate to mankind. But it will leave out the truth of the only way that is possible is through Christ and what Christ did on the cross. I want to tell you something this morning, church. We can't over-preach the cross. You can't over-preach it. It's impossible. It's the one message in this book from Genesis to Revelation. It's the one message that is so glorious and so deep that we could preach it for 100 years and never do it justice. If you understand anything at all about what God did when he sent Jesus Christ to hang on that old rugged cross, to take the stripes upon his back, to wear the crown of thorns, you must understand that that is so deep, that work that he did on that cross, that we'll be singing about it and shouting about it 100,000 years from tonight in the portals of glory. We'll still be raising our hands. We won't be shouting over his healing power. We won't be shouting over his ability to work natural miracles. What we'll be praising him for 100,000 years tonight is for what he did on the cross. It's what he did on the cross. The first method the Antichrist will use will be that of telling what is true, but not telling the truth. The second method he's going to use to deceive so many is going to be lying signs and lying wonders. I want to be kind in how I say this, but there is such an unbridled hunger, it seems, today in the body of Christ for a continual flow of some kind of miracle to validate their faith in Christ. If I'm not seeing a healing all the time, if I'm not seeing some kind of manifestation of the Spirit all the time, and those things are wonderful and good, I'm not demeaning them when we should see them. But if you require all the time some type of physical manifestation to validate your faith, you don't have the right kind of faith. And that faith can be shaken if you have that kind of faith, very easily shaken. Why? Well, just recently we had, let me give this for an illustration. We had this so-called revival down in Florida where this guy was kicking people in the stomach that had cancer and punching old ladies in the face and doing every kind of crazy thing in the world. And most of the church, well, yeah, did you hear about that, Michelle? Yeah, it's true. I wish I was making it up. She's sitting there laughing. It is. It's. And most of the church, every known Christian media was surrounding this guy and talking about, oh, what a great revival it was. And here they come to find out that even during the revival, he was out cheating on his wife and drinking. But you know what they were saying? Oh, the miracles. Oh, the signs and wonders. Now let me go back to what I told you. I'm going to give you something that will make sure you're never deceived. He wasn't preaching the truth. He might have been saying some things that were true, that Jesus heals. And let me tell you something. Demon power is a very real force in this world. Satan wants to deceive. And he will use the element of power he has, much like a magician uses his trickery, to deceive people into thinking it's God. if they're hungry just for a show all the time of God's power. What we need to know in this last day, my brothers and sisters, is the veracity and the truth of this word. And it's been proven time and time again. Its predictions and its prophecies have never failed. We must allow the Holy Spirit to cultivate in us the kind of faith that says, if I never see another miracle, if I never see another gift of the Spirit in operation, if I never, never see any kind of physical manifestation of God's power, this book is still true. And it says Jesus Christ went to the cross for me. And it says His blood, if I put my faith in it, will cleanse me from all sin and put me in a righteous state before a holy God. That's truth. That's truth. And that's the one thing the Holy Spirit wants to revive in the church in this last day and age. As the false prophets are arising in a multitudinous fashion, God is saying to the true church, love the truth. Not love that which is true. Love the truth. Love the truth. And if you understand the truth of Christ and what He did on the cross, you can't help but love Him. You can't help but get excited about it when you hear about it. Because let me tell you, we had a death sentence over our head, church. We were condemned to die in a burning hell. But the Son of God left the portals of glory. The jewel of heaven departed the throne room of God and condescended to take on Himself the form of man and pay a penalty that we should have paid and won a victory that we could never have won. And then He calls out to mankind and says, by faith alone, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. If you'll merely put your faith and trust in me and what I've done, I'll save you, I'll redeem you, I'll adopt you as my home, and I'll give you a mansion in glory. I'll let you rule and reign with me when I come back to this planet. That is glorious, hallelujah. That's glorious. But Satan will use in this last day lying signs and lying wonders. That's why you as an individual believer must discern everything you hear and see. Everything. Because many are being deceived right now by lying signs and lying wonders. And how do you tell? Let me say this. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, when He was speaking of Him in John 16, or 14, excuse me, He said, I'm getting ready to go away, and I'm going to send another comforter. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. Whom the world cannot receive. He's going to dwell with you forever. And He shall take of mine and show it unto you. In other words, the main mission of the Holy Spirit is to glorify and magnify Jesus Christ. That's all He will do. Through any of His workings, if it's the Holy Spirit of God and not a demon spirit, you can tell right away Jesus Christ will be the one being glorified. Not a man, not a ministry, not a movement, not a meeting. It will be Christ. It will be Christ. And I'm going to show you now how far the modern church has backslidden. That's not enough for the sensibilities of the modern church. Christ alone. Christ alone. Why? Because they've lost the meaning of the cross. Christ is just reduced to a good man who did good things without the cross. He's just someone to come and salivate over and say, wasn't he nice? Let's all try to be like him. Oh, to be like Jesus. Remember, Jesus went to a cross. We're talking truth here now. And much of the modern church does not want to hear it put that way. Yesterday, or it was this morning, actually, Michelle and I were talking about the outreach yesterday, and she sent out 80-some letters to other churches telling them what we were going to be doing down here on the square. Not a one of them showed up yesterday. I don't know exactly what she put in the letter, but I know, Michelle, I'm assuming you told them about the cross, didn't you, Michelle? Not a one showed up. I said, Michelle, you're seeing the truth of the time we're living in. I'll guarantee you this. I'll guarantee it. If we had said, we're going to have a purpose-driven day. We're going to have a purpose-driven day. We're going to hand out balloons and cotton candy and paint faces that have flocked to it. That shows you the time in which we're living. Our job is to remain faithful to the truth, though. Our job is just to keep preaching the truth. It's up. The results are up to God. We're going to reach out from this church like we've never done before since this church has begun. And we're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. I don't care if we don't draw no crowds, as many as will, as long as they'll go out with us. We're going to go places and we're going to preach the gospel. And somehow, some way, God's going to send the right people across our path that are hungry for the truth, that are sick and tired of hearing man's message and really want to hear something that's going to deliver them from sin and transform their life and change their life. And God's going to send them across our path. But we're not going to try and draw them with slick tricks of Wall Street. And we're not even going to try and draw them with signs and wonders of miracle. If God chooses to operate that way, we'll praise Him for it. But what we're going to hold up is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because the Holy Spirit of God will flow through that. And lives and hearts will be touched. Lives and hearts will be touched because we're talking about the power of God here. We're not talking about the marketing techniques of Wall Street. We're not talking about the slick tricks that come from the LA TV and movie studios. I'm talking about the power of God. And when the cross is preached, the power of God will flow. I'm feeling it this morning. And we don't have no slick orator up here today. What you're feeling in your soul today, you're feeling because the Holy Ghost is moving on you. Because the cross is being set forth. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So this chasing after signs and wonders is going to have millions multiplied millions deceived if you need that to validate your faith. It's got to be simple faith alone in Christ and Him crucified. Don't get too thrilled if you hear about revivals breaking out with all kinds of wild manifestations and miracles. The first thing you as a believer need to look at, where is Jesus in this? You know, the times I tuned in, and I tuned it in on the internet, the services from down there at that church in Lakeland, Florida. From the start of the service to the finish of the service, there were two times I tuned it in. Not one service did I hear the name of Jesus Christ mentioned. There was a whole lot about God. Have you noticed that one? You hear a whole lot about God. You hear Joel Osteen preach a lot about God, but you don't hear him say much about Jesus Christ and the cross. And that's the message of the Antichrist right there, is a crossless gospel. That's how you can tell if it's of God or if it's not of God. Where is Christ and Him crucified in this message? This is powerful stuff we're talking about this morning, church. Christ and Him crucified. Where is it in the message? And I'll say this, it won't take you long to find out where somebody's heart is, spiritually speaking. Because if they're requiring a continual flow of miracles, a continual flow of manifestations, they're being deceived by that which is true, and they have not fallen in love with the truth. With the truth. Go with me for a minute to 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. verse 9. This is speaking of this lamb that we read about in Revelation, this religious system. Thessalonians 2, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Did you just read that, what your Bible said about this Antichrist, this man of sin? This false lamb, if you will. He's going to have a tremendous amount of power and be able to do seeming miraculous works. And he's not of God. That's why we in the church must set our affection on Jesus Christ. Let's read on. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. In other words, what's the Bible saying here? Deceived into unrighteousness. Well, if faith in Christ and what he did on the cross is the only thing that can produce righteousness before God, then anything that excludes Christ and him crucified from God's perspective will lead people into unrighteousness. That's what the Word is telling us there. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. There's a lot of people sitting on church pews this morning. And they have heard for years that which is true, but they've never heard the truth. They've heard that which is true for a long time, but they've never heard that truth. They've got their faith in taking a wafer and following after a gulp of wine for their salvation. They've got their faith in the fact that somebody dunked them in a tank of water, and that's what saved them. They've got their faith in the fact they shook a preacher's hand 20 years ago and filled out some little card, and that's made them right with God. And the list could go on and on and on. They're perishing. They're perishing. They're not right with God. You say, how can you say that, Pastor? Because their faith is not in Christ and him crucified. Their faith is in what their priest told them to do. Their faith is in somebody dunking them in a tank of water. Their faith is in the fact they speak in tongues. None of those things will produce the righteousness of God. Faith alone in Christ and him crucified will do that. And them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. In other words, they were just in love with that which is true, but never fell in love with the truth, the complete truth, Christ and him crucified. And it's going to be this multitude of people that are going to be deceived by what this lamb in Revelation 13 is going to preach. Now, we've heard the bad part. Let's hear the good. To you, child of God, who has your faith anchored in Christ and what he did for you at the cross, here's where Revelation 12 and verse 11 comes in. How are we going to make it? If you're in love with the truth of Christ and him crucified, you can't be deceived. Because your affection is set on things that are above. Your heart is focused on Jesus Christ. You have Jesus. And you know that Jesus is enough. You know that Jesus is enough. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know that in a world gone mad, the Holy Spirit is going to be continually reminding you that your Jesus, in whom you have your faith, has already overcome. And because you are in Christ, and they overcame him, who? The working of Satan himself. And they overcame him. How? How? By the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. In other words, what they confessed. You know, there's a true positive biblical confession. You hear so much about confess, confess, confess from Word of Faith teachers. That's a perfect example of what we're talking about. There is such a thing as positive biblical confession. But it's not whatever I say and confess I get. It's me confessing what God says as truth is what I get. And if I confess, and if my confession lines up with the Word of God, then I do have what I say. Do you understand me? If my confession is, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I overcome by my faith in Jesus Christ. That is a confession that shakes the very gates of hell. Because Satan knows that he is defeated when that believer has their faith anchored in Christ Jesus, and that believer is already an overcomer. My Lord, I want you to shout this morning, child of God, no matter what your situation, Satan is looking at you and he may be trying to hinder you, but you know what he's seeing? He's seeing an overcoming, conquering person that has their faith in Christ, whose life is complete in Christ, whose life is hidden in Christ, and who has the overcoming, victorious power of Jesus Christ. You can't lose. You can't lose. You can't lose. Don't hang your head this morning. There's coming a day when your coronation parade will be marching down the middle of Glory Square in the portals of heaven. You may not get it in this life. Oh, I know you would love to hear me preach that. That God was going to make just everything right and rosy for you down here. I wish it were true. And if I did preach that way, I'd be preaching that false lamb's message. No, I want to tell you, it's going to get pretty rough down here. But Jesus will not leave us nor forsake us. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. And you know what? One day in the portals of glory, glory to God. We're going to be just like those people on the video there. All except we won't be standing in a church. We'll be standing amongst the untold billions and billions of other believers that have put their faith in Jesus Christ. And we'll get to walk before them and flash the sign that says, condemned sinner, and flip it over, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Give the Lord a hand of praise. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, loving not their own lives unto death. You're going to make it. You're going to make it, child of God. But Satan's going to try to deceive you. That's why I believe the Lord had me preach this message this morning. I pray, I know it hadn't been a shouting kind of message. I pray it's helped us all in some capacity to learn the difference between that which is true and that which is truth. Because there's a big, big difference between the two. Let the Holy Spirit reconfirm your faith in Christ this morning. And know that faith in Christ alone is enough to see you through anything. It's enough. It's enough. You know, and that don't sound flashy or flowery, I know, but it'll work. It'll work. See, that's where most of the church stumbles over this simple truth. And they start going into every kind of wild theology and wild thing in the world, trying to get God's power to move on their behalf. When simple faith in Christ and what he did at the cross will freely allow the Holy Spirit to move. The Holy Spirit will only move between those parameters. And a church that has drifted so far away from the cross and is pointing at every reason in the world of why the power of God is not in their church or in their life or in their ministry. And they think, well, we need to do this. Well, we need to do that. Well, we ought to do that. And they might be doing some true things, but they've not returned to the simple love of the truth of Christ and him crucified, which will allow faith in that, allows the Holy Spirit full parameter to operate in a life and in a church. And you know what? Sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to do things we don't like. I want you to think about that for a minute as we close. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is going to do things to us and in us that we're personally not going to like. And we always think of the Holy Spirit, don't we, as dove, gentle, one who gives gifts, and he is all that. But sometimes, when he comes, he's going to convict of sin. He's going to start to point things out in our individual lives and say, you know, this isn't right, and I want to deal with it. And sometimes he'll make us feel very, very uncomfortable. You see, the church, by and large, does not want that portion of the Holy Spirit's movement. That's how they're being deceived. They want the part that makes you shout, makes you run aisles, that causes all kind of manifestations to break out. Real revival starts with repentance, not with gifts of the Spirit. And repentance always is predicated upon an overwhelming sense on the part of the individual that my own righteousness is as filthy rags and I must turn to the cross of Christ. That's real revival, church. That's real revival. It may not play well on the CBS Evening News or on the cameras of TBN or get in the pages of Charisma Magazine. But real revival is turning to the cross and realizing our own unworthiness as the Holy Spirit convicts us. And we must then realize the only hope we have is in Him and what He did for us on the cross, which the Holy Spirit then will be leading us into truth, as Jesus said He would do. My Lord, God spoke some deep things to us this morning, I believe. We're living in the last days. We need this kind of preaching. We do. We need to know and be reminded of the truth. Not just what is true, the truth, the whole truth. And the whole truth will always involve Christ and Him crucified. As I close, the other day I had somebody I love very, very dearly call me up and wanted me to listen to a particular preacher, knowing that at that point I was going through a very difficult time. And this man, he's a great orator. He's a very good-looking young man. And he says a lot of true things. A lot of true things. But he was talking about dreaming, when this dreaming your own dream thing, and God wants you to fulfill your dream. But I'd known of this person when I was told to watch him, but I thought, just for the sake of my own discernment, I want to watch and see what this guy's saying. Didn't hear much of anything about the cross. Heard a lot about dreaming your own dream and some very good sound biblical things that were true biblically. But nothing about the way to get these things is only through Christ and what He did at the cross. See, the cross is the way and the means through which God provides everything to us. Think of the cross this way. It's the spiritual umbilical cord that runs between you and God. It's only through the cross we can receive our spiritual sustenance. It's only through the cross we can receive the Spirit's power. It's only through the cross we can ever receive anything from God. And you say, why is that? Why is that, Pastor? That sounds so narrow. It is. Because we're sinners and we need a blood covering of perfect, sinless blood. And Christ alone has provided that. That's why if our faith is in anything else, the Holy Spirit simply cannot and will not function. He cannot touch that which is not perfect. That's why by faith we must have it in Christ and Him crucified. But I had seen this man on TBN during several telethons. And he was just as wild and crazy, using every chicanerous tactic, just like the rest of them were. One show I tuned him in, he was, and I'll tell you who it is. This is probably going to shock some of you. It's a guy by the name of Jensen Franklin. And I've seen him on there, on those TBN telethons, talking about the $1,000 anointing. Go to those phones right now. God's got the $1,000 anointing on right now tonight. And I called this person back, and they asked me what I thought. I know I angered them. I was nice as I could be. I really was. But I said, it wasn't the cross. The natural they retort, I'm not going to tell you what they retorted back. It's not really worth it. It has nothing to do with the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make, this brother said a lot of true things, but he did not preach the truth. He said a lot of true things, but he did not preach the truth. Christ and him crucified. And I pray he comes out of this. I don't know. I don't want to denigrate him. I just know what I've seen of him on TBN and these two messages I heard him preach. I heard nothing about Christ and him crucified. And you may think, Pastor, you're wearing us out on this message. I pray for you if you feel that way. Because Christ and him crucified and your faith in that's going to be the only thing that's going to hold you through these last days. And I'll run the risk of sounding redundant because I really care about you all. I care about me and my family. And I want to make sure, especially my family and all those who God has entrusted their spiritual care to me, that I'll answer to him for one day. I know if I keep leading you to the cross, you're going to get the help you need. I know if I keep leading you to the cross, you'll find God's power. I know he'll change the things in your life through his power that he wants changed. It's Christ alone. So as you hear preachers, listen. Listen for that certain beautiful sound of Christ and him crucified. Because if that's not the heart of it all, if that's not being held up as the means to achieve what they're preaching, they're just preaching something that's true. They're not preaching the truth. If they're holding up fasting to gain spiritual power from God, if they're holding up the divine healing power of Jesus Christ, and they're not preaching to you that the only way to obtain those things is through faith in the cross, they're preaching that which is true. They're not preaching the truth. It's a spiritually dangerous time we're living in. It's also the greatest time for the true believers in Christ. Truth. Christ crucified. I want to say that again. I feel heaven shouting when I say it. Truth. Christ and him crucified. That's what's going to get you through. That alone is what's going to get you through, whatever you're facing. Praise God. Would you give Jesus a hand of praise this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would you please stand? I appreciate your patience today. I've taken a little bit more of your time than I normally do. But I really feel that the Holy Spirit wanted this said this morning. Right where you stand. I know it's been a little bit sobering this morning and perhaps even hard-hitting. But the Holy Spirit wants the attention of the true believers right now in Christ. Because he's preparing them for these last days to be a testimony in these last days to Jesus Christ. And you already are an overcomer, but you're going to yet be and realize the fruits of the overcoming power that Christ has provided through what he did on the cross. Father, in the name of Jesus today, right where we stand, I pray that let's everyone make an altar in your heart right now. Lord Jesus, we as humans were so carnal. Lord, our flesh always seeks after some kind of display. But Lord, for us to live for you in these last days, we're going to need more than all that. We're going to need true Holy Ghost power. And Lord, I pray that you'll cultivate by your Spirit in our hearts today a love for the truth. not for that which is merely true, but for the truth. Lay your hand upon us this morning, Lord Jesus. Because we're going to face some difficult times and difficult situations. I know many in this church already are. And we're going to need more than just something that makes us shout or produces an emotional high on Sunday morning. We're going to need the real power, real Holy Ghost power flowing through our lives. And Lord Jesus, that will only occur if we love the truth. Cultivate in us today a love for the truth above all else, above everything else. For that truth of Christ and Him crucified will carry us through. Lord Jesus, for everyone who's in a battle right now, who's facing a trial, a tribulation, and I know that's many, I ask you to give them the peace this morning of God that passes all understanding. To let them know one more time you're in control, you have not left them, and they are more than a conqueror in you, Lord Jesus. And that as long as their faith remains in you, they're going to see victory. Victory will not ultimately elude them if they keep their faith in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you all honor today. Amen and amen. Would you give Jesus one more hand of praise before we're dismissed? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for being in God's house today. Pray you've been blessed. We'll be back with you on Wednesday night. I want to thank Mahari for filling in for me this past Wednesday. Had some emergency things come up and couldn't be here. But we'll be back this Wednesday night in the book of Genesis. Come out and be with us. Go victorious. Go as an overcomer. Your faith is in Christ. Your position in heaven is assured. Walk out of here with your shoulders squared, a victorious believer in Jesus Christ. God bless you. You're dismissed.